The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, December 1st, 2021. I'm your announcer, Greg, but here are your hosts, the first from Fanbyte Media. He's the Final Fantasy 14 section head. It's Michael Higham. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Greg. I miss you.
You having a good day?
Yeah, I'm having a great day. Listen, Final Fantasy 14 news dropped. It's prime time. Endwalker's coming out on Friday. I got a shit ton of work to do. But you know what? I'm here spending an hour on KFGD with y'all fine folks.
And then, ladies and gentlemen, he's your main host of the day. He's the OK Beast, a.k.a. the Game Awards Future Class of Gaming 2020, a.k.a. Forbes 30 Under 30 for 2021, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Hey! Yeah! Look at this kid! Look at this kid!
I don't know what to say. I got no words. Thanks, everybody, for the intro.
Forbes cut the check.
Forbes cut the check. I wish they cut the check.
Ooh, free rent, baby. Let's go.
But yeah, it feels awesome. Thank you guys so much for the intro. And thanks, everybody, for coming through, because we have a Discord full of Kinda Funny members. We got like Greg, Joey, Nick, Raj, Barrett, Mike, and Tim Giddies are in here. And yeah, I've been emotional this morning. And I feel like if I start talking about it, I'm going to get more emotional. But like, you know.
Let it out.
One, I'm speechless because I was not expecting to get 30 under 30. Like they send you the email that you're nominated, right? But like that can mean anything, because like tens of thousands of people get nominated each year for Forbes. I was nominated last year as well. And so I got the email this morning and I was blown away. I wasn't expecting it. But also, like, you know, thank you to the audience for the support. Thank you to the Kinda Funny team, especially, because like I mentioned in Discord and I mentioned on Twitter, but like without each of you guys, I would not be here, right? Like it is because of the work and the support of everybody in this Discord call and everybody in the Slack and everybody watching and listening that I was able to get here. Now I'm sitting alongside Tim Geddes as a Forbes 30 under 30. So my heart is full right now. And yeah, like I'm so honored and so humbled right now.
Hey, we love you, Russ, and it's well deserved, man. You deserve this and so much more. And so we're happy to help you, you know, make your dreams come true here. Kinda Funny. Thank you for sharing your talents with us in the community.
Of course. Appreciate it. Greg, how's break going? How's that going? How's
it's good. I wasn't expecting the hard right turn on that. Break's great. Yeah, it's cool being a dad. I'll talk about it when I get back. Don't worry. For now, this is your moment, man. I love you. Congratulations.
Cool. Love you too. I mean, the only pivot I have to make is to pivot back into the show. And so, like, before I pivot, does anybody have anything to say on this topic on the Forbes 30 under 30?
I think Joey wrote a speech for you.
It's going through a couple speech writers, so I'll have it ready. Don't worry.
Have one last thing I want to say. Over on the Kinda Funny subreddit, Kinda Funny Lurker commented on this news and says, 2020, Blessing dethrones Greg as the true king of Halloween. 2021, Blessing takes the title of 30 under 30 from Tim. 2022, Blessing becomes a successful stand-up comedian and is featured in a new documentary called The Punchline Is Here.
Yeah. I'm all for that. Collecting the shit like it's Infinity Stone. So.
Hell yeah, man. I'm so proud of you, Bless. All right, y'all. Have a great show.
Congratulations, Blessing. Yeah.
Love you, Bless. Hey, Blessing. Appreciate it. Yeah, dude, like this, Mike, I was telling you right before the show that like the doc kind of barely came together this morning. Like my hair isn't done. I feel like I'm still waking up because I woke up, saw the news, and I've just been on my phone, like, you know, talking to family, getting calls from family, talking to people, and like, you know, trying to respond to people online. I've not been able to respond to most people, obviously, because like I've only had a few hours this morning. Hey, I've had to try and make the doc.
All good. Hey, that stuff is important, man. Like when it happens, because you never know when it's going to happen. You got to like enjoy those moments, and especially something like this, dog. Like, man, this house got so much clout. The House of Clout here in Daly City, California.
Oh my God. Speaking of clout, Michael Higham, people know you, of course, from hosting E3 this last year with people like Craig Miller and plenty of other wonderful folks like Jackie Jing and more. But also, Mike, like since the last time you've hosted on Kinda Funny Games Daily, you've shifted roles. before you were at GameSpot, you were GameSpot's Michael Haim. You're known for doing a lot of good work over there, doing news reporting, doing you would review the Persona 5s and all that stuff. But now you have a new job. You're over there at Fanbyte with Imran Khan and the team. One, how is that? Two, what do you do there?
Fanbyte's really dope. I think that they've assembled such a great team, and that's a credit to a lot of the folks like Danielle Riendo and John Warren who've like been scouting talent, such as myself, but also like I get to work with folks like Mike Williams, if y'all know him from US Gamer, and Natalie Flores, who is also Future Class from last year. She's been on the show. She's a friend of the show. She's our friend and too. And the thing about like working with these kinds of people who I've met at conventions and I've associated with on Twitter is that when you actually work with them, you learn a lot from them. And I knew this at GameSpot with working with folks like Lucy James and Tamori Hussein, but you just keep learning new things by just the feedback you get on documents, just having conversations and covering the big things like Final Fantasy 14 alongside these folks who have different perspectives and can express those and have insight that you can pick up on. So I was brought on to cover Final Fantasy 14 specifically. We're building out a dedicated site called the Link Shell, and it's going to be big, or it's we're building it up. I don't want to gas it up too much because, you know, we're still a very small team. Like Fanbyte is a very small team. We got folks like Imran, which all y'all know, but it takes a lot of work to stay on top of something. And in addition to the other things, like one of the first things I did at Fanbyte was review Lost Judgment, because Yakuza is also in my wheelhouse, and then trying to spin up a whole vertical or a section dedicated to Final Fantasy 14, it's a lot of work, especially with the expectations and kind of the vision. So many guides. Final Fantasy 14 being an MMORPG, it is a very complex game. It is a huge game, and just having two, three people covering it still is, it's still a challenge, but this is something that we know inside and out, so it makes the job a lot more fun. And also, yo, my bank account's real happy, so you know, I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, you got that Fanbyte Imran Khan money. You gotta love it. And yeah, like you've gone from GameSpot, right, where you were doing, you know, like I said, right, like news reviews, all this stuff, and wearing all these different hats. Now focusing on Final Fantasy 14 on Fanbyte. And I've told you congratulations off camera and plenty of times. But again, congratulations on that move, because you know, even at GameSpot. On this channel, right, you've like sung the praises of Final Fantasy 14. Those are the games cast where you came through and talked about Final Fantasy 14 for a while and talked about why people should get into that game. But yeah, like that is a big move, and it's an awesome move. And to see you be able to focus on Final Fantasy 14 and like try and lead the charge in terms of, you know, turning Fanbyte into the spot people can go to for Final Fantasy 14 content, that's a really cool thing right there. And also like in terms of talking about Cloud again, I should mention that you're also my roommate for people who didn't catch that. We live in the same apartment, so I can kind of hear you on the other side of the wall as you're talking. And of course, it's going to throw us off a little bit, but we're professionals, and so we're going to keep it moving. Before we keep it moving into the actual show, though, I do want to ask you, because I don't have any news stories specific to Final Fantasy 14, because I'm not necessarily a part of that world, but I do know that we just got some Final Fantasy 14 patch notes, right?
Yes.
Final Fantasy 14 is popping with content. I believe it's about to be popping even more soon. What's the latest in Final Fantasy 14?
So, Endwalker, the new expansion, is dropping on Friday for those who have early access. And late last night, Square Enix decided to release the official patch 6.0 and Endwalker patch notes. And holy shit, that thing is long. It details almost everything that's going to change in the game. And a lot of it has been outlined in previous presentations, such as the live letter from the producer, which is the dev live stream where they outline a bunch of new stuff coming to the game. And FanFest earlier this year, if y'all pay attention to that sort of thing, where they intro the entire expansion and some of the big things that are going on. Why is Tamor Hussein calling me? I'm getting a call from one Tamor Hussein.
He wants to see someone on the show. Answer. Put him on speaker.
Oi, mate. What's up?
Dude, put him on speaker. Tell him he's on live.
All right, hold on. Don't say anything. Well, actually, you could say something, Susio.
Is he talking?
Can you not hear him?
The gate.
We can't hear. Oh no! This is poor. This is not going to play on podcast. Hey. I'm on KFGD, dog.
He knows you're on KFGD. He has to know.
I heard him say, "Oh."
Oh yeah. Let's go.
Man, we can't. Wait, what's he saying?
Let's do that. I'll inform you.
Oh, this is gonna be something good. He's gonna say he has something to say. I can tell.
Back up.
Wait, what? Say awesome. Something. Wait, what the? Okay, and Tam, I'll call you back.
He hung up. He's gone. Everybody. We had him for a second.
Sorry about that. Let me pick it back up. But anyway.
Wait, what was he saying?
He said, wow, can I say this publicly?
I mean, if it's not public, don't tell us. But if it's public, if it's something juicy.
It's something juicy. I don't think I could say
it. Okay.
Yeah. So,
just DM it to me.
Listen, so hit video game website, GameSpot.com. Hit video game website, FanBite.com. You know, we out here thriving. But let me pick it back up. Long story short, whole bunch of patch notes, a lot of things changing in Final Fantasy 14. Outline there. Got pictures of new enemies, pictures of new zones. You got fucking housing changes. You got belts. You can remove all your belts. It's a lot going on. So yeah, we're covering it over on
your belts.
Yeah, dog, no more belts. They have. I wrote a story about this at 3 a.m. That there's in-game lore for why there's no more belts. Is that tailors in the world of Final Fantasy 14 have figured out a way to make pants that don't require belts, and they could just stay on your waist without them. The number one thing before we move on is that belts are important because I got no booty meat. If you got booty meat, you can wear pants without belts. Mm-hmm. It's fine. So my assumption is that everyone got wild booty meat in Final Fantasy 14. So shouts out to Butts.
Heard it here first.
Naoki Yoshida, thank you for listening to me. You can check out an interview I did last year with Naoki Yoshida, the director. I said, listen, we need fat asses in Final Fantasy 14. I hope they're listening to me because I want that booty meat because I ain't got none in real life. So
go check out fanbite.com if you're looking for that Final Fantasy 14 content, all from the latest guides and the latest tips and tricks to do the Final Fantasy 14 characters need booty meat. Go check that out. But for now, Michael, let's talk about today's stories, which include a Solar Ash review roundup, Metroid Dread's developer's next game, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, or bronze members or above, get to write in. And silver members or above, get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, there's a new Kinda Funny Games cast that is up right now featuring me, Tim Geddes, and a special guest, Sancho West. It is me giving my review of Solar Ash. It is us talking about Halo Esports, and it's me and Sancho going on a long tangent about Last of Us Factions and what we want that to be. It's a must-listen episode that's available over on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. You know what's interesting right now is that I am talking so loud that I hear my echo through Michael's microphone.
I think partially I got to talk to Michael about lowering his gain. Your gain, Michael, might be a little high. I think if you unplugged it.
Okay.
Gains. Hello. Hi. Is this any better?
Yeah, go a little lower still. Go a little lower.
A little lower? All right. Go lower.
Can you go down lower?
Let me right there.
All the way.
Okay. Hi. Or bless you. I guess you should say something to see if my.
Oh, you sound better. You do sound better.
Yeah, you sound way better. It was just your gain was just way. Like, I think. Did you disconnect your mic and reconnect it? Because
no, I boosted my gain toggle when Tam called me.
Got it.
Too many gains. You know vibes.
Never enough gains. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Pranksy and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Purple Mattress, DraftKings, and Liquid IV, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Starting with our number one, we got a Solar Ash review roundup. Like I said earlier on Gamescast, I gave my full review of Solar Ash. I'm sure you'll hear us talk quite a bit about it, as I believe Andy's been playing it as well, and I'm sure he'll give his impressions at some point. But before I get into what the review roundup is, Michael, do you have any interest in Solar Ash? Did you see this game? Is this your jam at all?
Absolutely. I need to talk to y'all about Hyperlight Drifter real quick. So from Heart Machine, Hyperlight Drifter means a lot to me, especially in this new phase of my life in which I was diagnosed with congenital heart disease. And so Alex Preston, who is the director and creator, who's more or less Heart Machine, was the creative mind behind Hyperlight Drifter. And this is the follow up, not a sequel, but it's a follow up. And like, I think their work is incredible. Like Hyperlight Drifter hit very hard, and when I found out about Preston's story and dealing with congenital heart disease, I think it, now that I've kind of gone through that myself, that game hit different. Now I reflect on what happened in Hyperlight Drifter, and like it made an impact then, and it means something completely different now. So I think that they're like, I haven't so Funk AF Ambite, they reviewed it for us, so I didn't get hands on with it yet, but this is something that's very exciting to me because of that reputation coming from Hyperlight Drifter. The reviews are out, and we'll talk about that, but regardless, I need to see this game for myself and kind of dig into what it's about, because this is this can be, it seems like this can be as impactful as Hyperlight Drifter was about 5 years ago. Oh my God, years ago.
One of the things I mentioned during our review was, if this is a game that you've been following and that you've watched a trailer and you're in the camp of, oh, I want to play this, I got to play this, my suggestion is, hey, check it out, because I think it is going to be good for so many people. My takeaway overall was, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good, not great necessarily, and we'll get into it with the review roundup. In fact, I'll get into it now, right? I'm going to start off with Cam Shea over at IGN. IGN gave it a 7 out of 10. I guess I should preface with, on Metacritic, it is currently sitting at a 75 overall. But IGN gave it a 7 out of 10, and Cam Shea had this to say. Solar Ash took me a little over 7 hours to beat on normal difficulty, and while some of the anomalies and bosses were less entertaining than others, and there were moments of frustration with the controls, this was a world I enjoyed spending time in. This game may take place in a ruinous void, but its clean yet vibrant visual design is full of life, as is the story that ultimately gives Ray's journey meaning. Tom Ori at VG247 gave it 3 out of 5 stars and says, Solar Ash deserves props for its world design, the fluidity of movement when you're in the groove, and the sense of scale on display. So it's somewhat painful to be down on it to the degree that I am. It's not far from being a bit special, the kind of indie gem that everyone has to play, but it's unfortunately just not quite there. There's still a great deal of fun to be had here, and your mileage with the mechanics might be better. But for me, Solar Ash is so focused on delivering flow, it forgot that you don't want to go down or go on the same walk every day. And then Austin Wood at GamesRadar gave it 4.5 out of 5 stars and says, I signed up for Solar Ash, the second game from Hyperlight Drifter developer Heart Machine, looking to skate elegantly on the clouds of a beautiful world, and that's exactly what I got. It's a third-person platformer that pushes its core skating mechanic to its technical and creative limits, and the result is a sublime chorus of double jumps, grind rails, bounce pads, collectibles, and momentum. What I didn't expect was for the rapper on that straightforward idea to be so heavy and memorable. I didn't anticipate so many pitiable, endearing, and even charming characters ruminating fatalistically in a melancholic world sculpted from loss, or for that world's plight to hit so close to home. Solar Ash is simultaneously exactly what I was hoping for and also full of surprises, and it's one of my favorite games of the year. And I'm going to add one more from Funke over at Fanbyte, since we got Michael's Fanbyte over here. Funke had this to say, quote, from its larger-than-life score to its medley of planets and explorable biomes, it takes large leaps to tell a story of destruction and coping. After completing it, I felt a deep loss, one that sticks with me and makes me want to push hard toward a brighter future with a newfound urgency. Michael, after seeing these reviews, what does that do for you and your anticipation?
I think that this tells me that Solar Ash brings what I'm looking for. Mm. So for me, I think the most, what I've learned over the years is that the most important thing in a video game for me is, one, is like an incredible soundtrack or an incredible story. Like, I think that games have a lot of things to say. It could be a powerful medium to tell stories, and it can impact people in various ways. So Some of my favorite games have mechanical frustrations or have like repetitive mechanics that might not be fun all the time. Like my current game of the year is Nier Replicant. And the thing about Nier Replicant is that you have to go through the motions several times in that game. And the combat's great, but to a point. But the repetition is it serves a narrative purpose and a very powerful narrative purpose. And like that will impact people's perception of a game in different ways, right? So you see folks like Tom Mori from VG247 and Cam Shea at IGN, how they kind of speak to the gameplay elements not really clicking with them. And then you have someone like Austin Woods, like, yo, and Funke as well, who are both like, yo, this game is wild and it's something unique and that has a lot of value. So I think that's where I lean towards, sort of those elements really speak to me. And of course, like what I said earlier about Hyper Light Drifter, this is just something I have to see through regardless of whether the reviews were okay, good or great. It's something that I have to experience for myself, so I am hyped up.
Yeah, like overall, I would say this is based on my playing the game, right? I would say that this is where I expected it to land in terms of the overall Metacritic being at around a 75. You know, I think that kind of speaks to, hey, it's a solid game. Like this is a good game that I think hits the level of speaking to different people in different ways. I feel like we got to find a word for it, like for this kind of genre of game, because I look at something like, we'll talk about Ghost Runner a little bit later in the show, but games like Ghost Runner, Katana Zero, and other games, I would say are kind of like Hotline Miami likes, right? Like there's not really a clean turn, but like those fast action games that hinge on like reflexes and getting hit once and all these things. I feel like Solar Ash fits within another genre that's becoming more and more popular in the indie space, and it is that pathless. It is the game that's more about the vibes and is more about the experiential. I'm going to explore a contained world and I'm going to just solve puzzles and try beat the boss, right? Like I think there's something very specific about the formula of this game that connects it to the pathless, that'll connect it to something like Pray for the Gods, and then also connect it back to things like Shadow Colossus and Eco and even The Last Guardian. And a thing with those games, like all the games I just mentioned, is those are games that speak to people in very different ways. Whenever I talk about Shadow Colossus, I always see a wave of folks being like, I don't understand what it is with this game that people love so much, right? Like the game, the world is empty. Like the gameplay can be janky, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And like, you can say that the same things about, you know, again, like all those Team Eco games, you can say the same thing maybe about The Pathless even in terms of, I mean, what are you doing in the open world aside from just being in it and solving puzzles and all these things? But like for somebody like me, I'm like, dude, that is the game, right? That is what I thrive off of. That is where the enjoyment comes, is doing that scan, seeing what the next thing I want to go do is, doing that thing and feeling like I am just in the flow of this world, this constant state of flow. Solar Ash, I think, does that. And for that, what it's doing aesthetically in terms of what the story is and in terms of what the world is going to speak to different people in different ways. For me, it didn't hit as hard. I mentioned this on the Gamescast that went up today, that the story I didn't care about necessarily until the end. By the time I got to the end, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I see where you're going here, and this is cool. But it took all the way until the end until I actually got there. And if I was more invested in the world and I cared more about the world and the story of the world and what was going on in the world earlier on, I could have seen myself landing where Funke is in their review, right? I could have seen myself landing in a place where, oh yeah, like I wish this and this was better, but man, the story is impactful. You know, I think that would have maybe pushed over the edge for me, but for where I landed with Solar Ash, everything was a solid, you did good, but I wish there was a thing or a few things that felt like they did great. Like I still look back at something like The Pathless as, okay, you guys have a lot of similar mechanics, a lot of similar mess up. But I mean, both games are games where you are this character that is stepping into a ruined world and you're trying to restore life into the world. And I still look at Pathless as being, well, you did everything better. Like I booted up just as like a reminder. I was like, am I really like, do these comparisons really stick or not? And after booting up The Pathless again this last week, I was like, yeah, no, like this game, it looks better, it flows better, I like the traversal better, like I care more about the things that are going on in this world. And you know, maybe if aesthetically The Pathless isn't for some people, Solar Ash might be the thing that is actually for those people. I think it might be one of those ones.
Sick. Yeah. I like these kind of action exploration games where I mean, maybe it's not gonna hit for everyone, because at the end of the day, it's up to you to extract. It's oftentimes up to you to extract the meaning out of it. So, you're going to get varied reviews such as this and varied accounts. But shouts out to Heart Machine, though, for doing a follow up at all. I'm glad these kinds of games exist, really. And shouts out to the name Heart Machine, because I'm assuming that's a reference to having a mechanical heart valve. And I can hear it right now pumping in my body right now. It's
So Heart Machine, the lead there, he also has the same
heart. I think so. Yeah. So mechanical heart valve is like, yo, we on some Deus Ex shit over here. Like, I'm Adam Jensen, man. One body part at a time is being replaced with machines, with mechanics. So,
since you bring it up, I want to talk about it real quick, because I'm sure most of the audience just isn't aware and doesn't know. Like, you went through a surgery very recently, like a month or so ago, actually.
Yeah.
Surgery. Like, what's the story behind that?
Yo, so about a month and a half ago, I had open heart surgery. Earlier this year, after E3, I did E3. One of the few people who was doing it. Millions of people watching, collabing with Greg and Golden Boy and so many great folks. And then I went to the hospital for something else. And then the doctors detected that I had a congenital heart disease that I didn't know about. And congenital heart disease, at least for me, was that I had a very inefficient heart valve. So blood wasn't pumping properly throughout my body. And those things can be very dangerous. So you could live your life with it and be somewhat fine, or it can cut your life very short. We'll never know. I'll never know. And I hope to never know what that was. But they're like, yo, you need to take care of this within a year at most. So I scheduled that for the middle of October, and it happened. And it was very difficult. That shit is very hard, because one, you're getting chopped open. They cut your chest open. They saw down a bone. They rip out a piece of your heart. They put in a piece of machinery, and they sew you back up, and you have to recover. And it's been about a month and a half, and I think I'm getting close to 100%. It's very difficult, but I mean, it's one of those, I never get too high, never get too low. When I was told back in July, they're like, hey, you're going to need heart surgery. I was just like, all right, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. I was like, this is going to be a layup. It was not a layup, but
like, once it got closer, like I was starting to get nervous for you. Cause like, you know, living with you, I've gotten to see you go through this roller coaster of a year where you hit E3, you're hosting E3. It was fucking dope as fuck. And then you get back. And then, like a month later, you go, like, we have like an emergency situation where it's like, cool, I got to get Mike to the hospital. like shit is not going good right now. And that got solved. But that then turned into, oh shit, while I'm here, I figured out that I have this heart condition. And, you know, like we'd be talking about it in the kitchen, and like you tell me about what the process is. And like internally, I'm just like, damn, that sounds wild. That sounds serious. Like, they're going to have to like do shit to your heart. And you know, you do, it comes with a cool story of like you mentioning that, like, you know, you have the choice between like a pig valve or the like basically getting like a mechanical valve, like Adam Jensen type shit.
Yep.
And you went with Adam Jensen shit. And like when I heard that, I was like, oh, let's fucking go. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
You got some augmentations in you. But
I never asked for this.
You've had a year from doing that, like doing both those hospital trips and then also like going to Fanbyte. Like, it's been all over the place.
I know. It's like the highest highs, the lowest lows. It's 2021 is fucking wild. Oh my God. What a year. Holy shit. Yeah. And but also, like, shouts out to you, because bless, you've seen me at my best and you have seen me literally at my worst, like worse than my mom. I'm glad that my mom wasn't around to see me how down bad I was. She trips about everything. Like, Asian parents are gonna fucking trip out about everything. So when she found out, she like had a big breakdown. I'm like, yo, you are tripping more about this than I am, and I'm going through it. So shouts out to you, man, for helping take care of me. It means a lot.
Of course, because
if I was living by myself, yo, that shit would have been
yeah, of course, man. Yep. Well, on the same topic of human and machines combining, a big segue here. Story number two, Metroid Dread's developer is working on a dark fantasy RPG. This is Jared Moore at IGN. And before you correct me, I know that's not accurate. I know Samus is a machine, but hey, I had to get there somehow. The article reads like this. Metroid Dread developer Mercury Steam is currently working on a third-person action RPG that will be set in a dark fantasy world and has partnered with Control publisher 505 Games to make it. 505's parent company, Digital Bros, released a press release announcing that Mercury Steam's next game is codenamed Project Iron, a third-person action RPG set for release on PC and consoles. While the company hasn't commented on a potential release window for the game, it does note that the project's initial investment amounts to 27 million euros, or around $30 million. Elsewhere in the announcement, it is stated that Project Iron's IP is co-owned by Mercury Steam and Digital Bros. While very few details have emerged about the project so far, it looks like it should be in safe hands given Mercury Steam's wealth of experience. Prior to developing Metroid Dread, the company also worked on titles such as Metroid Samus Returns and Castlevania Lords of Shadow. Quote, "We are thrilled to work with the team at Mercury Steam, a proven studio that over the years has created numerous phenomenal IPs, including the recent hit release Metroid Dread in partnership with Nintendo," explained co-CEOs of Digital Bros group Rafi and Rami Gallant. They continue, "With Mercury Steam's creative vision and talent in 505 Games' extensive experience, gamers can expect a high-quality, captivating, and engaging video game," end quote. Michael, did you get to check out Metroid Dread?
I sure did, and damn, that is a good ass game. It is hard too. Like usually, I don't want to say I shy away from these kinds of games because I'm a real ass gamer. But I love Metroid. Metroid Prime 1, 2, and 3 Corruption are some of my favorite game. They're up there with some of my favorite games of all time. The 2D Metroid, I was about to call Metroid Dread a Metroidvania. Damn, I would have got flamed for that for good reason. But yeah, Metroid Dread was, I wouldn't say it was a surprise because I also played Samus Returns on 3DS, and they really nailed down recreating what Metroid 2 was for a more modern sense. Even though it was a late 3DS game, it was still very much like, okay, like they really nailed the feel of a 2D Metroid, which is timeless. Like, there's a reason why so many independent games follow the Metroid and Castlevania style of gameplay, is because it's tried and true and it's tested, and it's great if they can nail it. So Mercury Steam has that history, as you had mentioned. And yeah, Metroid Dread is really, it's what it's going to be in many game of the year conversations, and I'm sure y'all have talked about that in various forms. So this new project, though, this being a third person action RPG, I guess if you account for Samus Returns and Dread, they are kind of going back to like Castlevania Lords of Shadow. It feels like they're going to try to go for that 3D third-person action game again. And so maybe with this kind of experience and doing something like Metroid Dread is a high profile game, so maybe they can like kind of step up to the plate to be in the presence of other big third-person action games. And whatever Project Iron ends up being, I think a lot more people now have their eyes set on this. Like, this is news for a reason now. It's because Mercury Steam out here putting out some bangers, and with Metroid Dread being their most high-profile banger. The only thing I'll say is that Mercury Steam, credit the developers who work on every developer who works on these games. I'm just saying.
Agreed. And yeah, like, I think this is, I mean, it's big news, right? Just because these guys are folks that have worked on what is now a Game of the Year contender for what will probably be many outlets, right? Like, it is in there for the Game Awards Game of the Year nominees, and I'm sure for plenty of people, the conversations are going to be around Metroid Dread, and having put out that quality, I'm super curious I'm wondering what their next project is really going to be, right? Because like, third person action game, that can mean many of things, right? Third person action RPG can mean many of things. I feel like that is half of the action games that come out nowadays are in some form, like an open world action RPG of some sort, some kind. I wonder how they're gonna be able to translate that, right? Translate what they've done with the Metroid games in the last five years at this point. Because like, before Metroid, in the last few years, one of their games has been Space Lords. I don't know much about Space Lords. I believe that is like a free-to-play game. Might be a shooter, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. But before that, yeah, you mentioned Castlevania Lords of Shadow. And the last one of those that came out was in 2014. And so it's been a while since they put out something like that. And I wonder for them if their idea for this next game is going to be returning to that kind of structure, or if it is going to be, hey, now that we're off of Metroid Dread, we want to work on something big and new and expansive, and we want to actually go for it. I wonder what that's going to be. Yep. But for now, let me tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. I had a brain fart for a second. I was like, where do they go to get the show ad free? It is patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Did you know that colder weather makes it easier to miss the classic signs of dehydration like overheating and perspiration? That's why, even though it's colder out, it's more important than ever to keep your body properly hydrated. Luckily, Liquid IV makes hydration easier than ever. I love Liquid IV. There's been a ton of mornings where I'm waking up not feeling that great. Then, boom, you pour some of this in the water. Next thing you know, you're hydrated. Liquid IV is not an actual IV drip, but it does hydrate you faster and more efficiently than plain old water. But that's because Liquid IV uses cellular transport technology, which is a very fancy way of saying it contains the perfect balance of vitamins to help you hydrate quicker. Grab your favorite Liquid IV flavors nationwide at Walmart, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code KFGD at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code KFGD at liquidiv.com. Next up, shout out to Purple. There's no gift better than the gift of a great night's sleep. Give yourself the gift of the best, a Purple mattress. I have so many glowing things to say about Purple. You guys have heard it for years. The pillow changed my life because guess what? There is no hot side. You never need to flip it to the cold side because they're both cold sides. It's fantastic. Purple mattresses are the best because they're the only ones around with the gel flex grid. That's what makes all that flipping possible. It's a super stretchy, ultra squishy material that adapts and flexes around pressure points, supports and cushions you in all the right places, and doesn't retain heat. Oh, and I love that. Getting a great night's sleep starts with having a great mattress. Get a Purple mattress. Go to purple.com/games10 and use code games10 for a limited time. You can get 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/games10, code games10 for 10% off any order of $200 or more. purple.com/games10, promo code games10. Terms apply. And finally, shout out to DraftKings. NFL fans, the fantasy football season doesn't just start in September. Every week is a new shot to win big cash prizes at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And this week, new customers can play free for millions with their first deposit. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in the game. Playing daily fantasy football is simple. Just pick your lineup of NFL stars while staying under the salary cap and score enough points to bring home cash. And with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, you'll feel the NFL action like never before. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code KINDAFUNNY to play free for millions. That's right. Enter promo code KINDAFUNNY to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. Do not miss out. Download DraftKings and play with the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. There's a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
One thing I want to mention that I don't think I've mentioned on a show yet is that over what was the last week? God, time moves slow and fast. Late last week during Thanksgiving, we did go to Kevin's place. And I do want to give a shout out and an apology to Kevin, because the reason I went to Kevin's place, of course, was it was first brought up when we were talking about turkey on one of these shows. And I was like, turkey sucks. I think I said Thanksgiving food sucks.
And here's the thing. Bless. I want to be absolutely clear. My turkey game was not on point.
My turkey was hidden, though.
Yeah, look, the turkey was fine, but I didn't offer you any of the dark meat because the turkey legs were still a little raw, because I got some people were rushing me in the kitchen. They were like, my mom's was like, that turkey's done. I'm like, Mom, I don't know about that. I don't know about
that. Speak on it.
I'll take that clarification, because I was gonna say that. Like, my complaint about turkey specifically is that turkey's always dry. That's one of the main reasons I don't like turkey. And your turkey was not dry. Your turkey was not dry. I will say that, like, it didn't necessarily save turkey for me. Like, I was preferring the what was the other meat? Was it steak?
Secco.
It's beef.
The beef, yeah. The beef I was preferring. But yeah. I will say that the turkey, one of the better turkeys I've had. That's what I'll give you.
Definitely. Give it up for Kevin's meat. Give it up for Kevin's meat.
God, you got to love Kevin's meat.
Kevin's meat.
Gotta appreciate Kevin's meat.
I've heard good things about it.
Story number three, there's a new U.S. bill that could ban the use of console scalper bots. This is Chris Skolian at Video Games Chronicle. A group of U.S. Democrats have introduced a new bill in the hope that it will ban the use of bots to scalp high-value items, including video game consoles. The, quote, Stopping Grinch Bots Act is being introduced by Representative Paul Tonko, Senator Richard Blumenthal, Senate Majority Leader Charles Schumer, and Senator Ben Ray Lujan, and is designed to crack down on bot technology. Bots work by automatically notifying users when high-value items come in stock at retailers before circumventing any wait times, adding items to their cart, and then completing the checkout process, giving users a high advantage over regular consumers. These kinds of tools aren't new. Collectors of sneakers and tickets sometimes use automated tools for identifying restocks. However, gaming's sharp rise in popularity during the pandemic has reportedly seen bots specifically used to target consoles. It's hoped that the new bill will be signed into law, as was the Better Online Ticket Sales Act, which was introduced by Tonko, Blumenthal, and Schumer in 2016 to make it illegal to use bots to buy event tickets. The new legislation, if passed, would apply a similar ban to online retail sites, making it illegal to use bots to buy up stock as soon as it's made available. Quote, At a time when families should be able to spend time with their loved ones, digital Grinch bots are forcing Americans to scour online sites in the hope of finding an affordable gift for paying exorbitant prices for a single toy, Tonko said in a statement. Quote, These bots don't just squeeze consumers. They pose a problem for small businesses, local retailers, and other entrepreneurs trying to ensure they have the best item in stock for their customers, end quote. Other countries have been attempting to stop scalping in recent years. A bill called the Gaming Hardware Bill was brought forward in the UK Parliament earlier this year, but it's not yet clear whether it'll become a law. Sony claimed in July that PS5 had become its fastest-selling console ever after topping 10 million sales globally just under a month faster than the PS4 managed. However, it has since fallen behind the sales pace of its predecessor, partly due to supply constraints. Michael, does this strike you as good news?
I think it's okay news. The thing is, like, I don't know if Congress is particularly equipped to solve this sort of problem, but honestly, they're doing something, and who else are we going to turn to? Because I ain't going to trust no, like, private technology to be, like, trying to take care of this sort of thing. But man, listen, I've been adjacent to the sneaker game for a very long time. So when this stuff started happening in consoles, it was like, oh, first time here. Because damn, back in the late 2000s, when you were trying to get some Yeezys, oh boy, that ain't it. That is a pain in the ass. We used to do raffles out in the street in front of our shoe stores, but now we can do that shit online. But I like how they call them Grinch bots. That's the first time I heard that. I don't know if I'm washed up or anything, but like Grinch bots.
That's the first time I heard it too. It's accurate though, right? Like it ruins the holidays.
the thing is, like I feel like something has to be done, because you see stories out here about like dudes hoarding hundreds of PS5s and then slanging that shit on eBay or like through private means, and like that's a wild dickhead move. And it's kind of like, yeah, that's. I mean, you can do that if you can pull it off, but also like fuck you at the same time. You know, buying a $500 console, selling it for like $800, $1,000, especially when it's like, oh, I know people. Like that's like that shit dates all the way back to the beginning of civilization. Like that's just economics, but also like that's kind of fucked up.
I feel like it sucks that they use these computers, because like it was cool when like fucking dude waited in line with five of his friends to take up the spots. You know what I mean? Like that's what we did
back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, like we've all done that hustle, but like this fucking sucks, where it's like some dude with 15 computers that are all running a program that can snatch them all up, and the fucking captcha isn't doing it. We need someone to fix this.
Kevin's got some strong feelings about this.
Yeah, and like I agree with that, right? I think the bots are the thing that kind of ruin this whole process when it is, you know, one person snatches up 50 PS5s just to sell them for however many hundreds of dollars more than they're actually what the actual MSRP is. I'm with you, Michael, that this is like, it's okay news. I do like that there is regulation. I think you need some kind of regulation when it comes to this thing, because it's become a problem, right? It's become a thing that is affecting everybody because people aren't able to get their hands on the next-gen system. And so somebody has to step in. The fact that it's Congress makes me go, oh, all right, well, I guess. Because, yeah, who else is going to step in? It's not going to be the stores and the retailers, because, like, they're getting their money either way. They don't really – nothing really is – making them go, shit, we should do something about this, like nothing else. And so who is going to step in? It could be like a third party, like tech company, like you mentioned earlier. If somebody gives them the money or gives them the reasoning or resources to do it. But I think with that, like, who's going to do that? I think it kind of does that kind of does fall back on the government to some extent, which makes me shiver a little bit, makes me go, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. But it is a step toward regulation, which I like, because people should be able to get their hands on the things that people should be able to get their hands on without worry that they're not going to be able to do it because there's somebody out there with 50 computers, or like a stack of CPUs taped together that are buying these things in the hundreds. Yeah, servers that are just doing the work and snatching all these things up. Like, that sucks. That really sucks. Next news story, story number 4, Ghost Runner Project Hell DLC has been officially announced for a 2022 release. Kevin, I have a trailer that you can play as I read through the news story. In fact, I should copy and paste to see who actually wrote this news story, because I did not include it in the thing. But that should be a quick pull, because I believe I got it from IGN, and the writer was Cat Bailey. There we go. We did it pretty quickly. Article reads like this. Ghost Runner will be releasing a major new DLC expansion in early 2022, IGN can exclusively reveal. After teasing it as the ultimate DLC last week, Ghost Runner's developers took the wraps off the new content today, revealing that it is a story-driven expansion featuring a major character from the core game. Titled Project Hell, the new DLC will put you in the shoes of Hell, one of the original game's trickiest bosses. In the Project Hell DLC, she will be a combat-oriented character designed to appeal to, quote, new players and veterans, and will feature her own ability progression system. Project Hell's story will span 6 missions following Hell as she descends Dharma Tower. It will also include new enemies, bosses, and 6 new tracks from electronic musician Daniel Deluxe. It was originally planned as a smaller piece of DLC, but eventually grew into a, quote, full-blown Ghost Runner experience, end quote. Project Hell will cost $14.99, that's US dollars, and will release on PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X/S, Nintendo Switch, Amazon Luna, and PC on January 27th. Michael, is Ghost Runner ever your jam?
Ghost Runner was dope, I'm not gonna lie. I played it at PAX, and so I'd seen it, and I'm like, well, how's this actually gonna play? Is it gonna feel as good as it looks? Played it at PAX, and I was like, oh, they got something special here, because this game, like, especially first-person games, like, first-person platforming is extremely hard to nail down. I think, like, a lot, maybe, like, since Mirror's Edge, I think maybe that, like, there's other games that have kind of chased that sort of vibe, and Mirror's Edge was incredible because it nailed first-person platforming, which is very hard. So Ghost Runner, like, did that as well with a lot of parkour elements, but the degree of difficulty and the level of frustration you have to go through to actually finish missions in Ghost Runner is both, it's like a double-edged sword, right? Because I'm playing it and I'm banging my head against the wall and I'm like, damn, this shit is so hard. Why are there not more checkpoints? Why am I getting, like, why is it only one hit kills? But once you figure out how to get past all that, it's almost like putting together a puzzle, like a Hotline Miami, where like the stakes are high. It's one hit kills, and you gotta get through this whole thing in one shot. And I think for this, like, nailing the feel of what it's like to slice through enemies, what it's like to wall jump, what it's like to connect jumps together, and what it's like to slide through different various paths within a single mission is like, It's a really solid experience, and I like games that focus in on just a few things and do them extremely well. And Ghost Runner is definitely one of those. Yeah. So, like, I wasn't sure if I was going to be into it because I just don't know if I at the time if I had the patience for it. But you give it enough time, things start to click, and you kind of see the ways in which the game challenges you. So the fact that it's getting more content, especially like for like $15, I mean, Ghost Runner was pretty short. Like, if you figure it out fast enough, it's like, oh, I can run through this in a couple of hours. And I assume that this being a DLC, maybe it's also probably going to be a couple hours. But I mean, I feel like this kind of game, like, that's enough time to spend with this kind of game. Like, it doesn't need to be a very long experience. It's like impactful, get in, get out, get the experience, know what it's like to solve the puzzle, quote unquote puzzle, of all these missions, and then you'd be like, yo, that was a really good experience. So Ghost Runner is intense. Like, folks should at least give it a try. So yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Ghost Runner was a super dope game, and I love those games that are focused in on, hey, this is an indie game that is all about momentum and all about traversal and all about platforming, and we're going to do these few things right, but because we do them so right, you're going to remember this as being a fucking dope ass game. And I think Ghost Runner is one of those where it is about the straightforward running on walls, slashing the shit, and just going quick. And like the sci-fi vibe, right? But like, it's not a game that's necessarily focused on like the overall narrative. It's not a game that's focused on like explorational and or any of that stuff. It is very much, hey, you're going and you're slashing, and it does that extremely well, and it's such a fun game for it. And it does fall into that category of, yeah, the Hotline Miami type games. There's a game called Severed Steel that came out a few months ago that I'll put in that category as well, in terms of the, hey, this is more about speed running than anything. How fast can you finish this level? How fast can you get to the end? Like, how much can you memorize the positioning of each of the enemies, and like, what routes can you establish that you can take in order to get to the end faster? Like, that stuff is super fun. I love to see that Ghost Runner is getting this support. It's been getting a lot of support, seemingly. Like, they were I believe acquired by, I want to say, Epic, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong if I'm wrong about that. And they talked about how they're going to, no, maybe it was 505. I think it was 505. Either way, like, the publisher and the developer have been talking about how they're focusing in, and they're going to make more Ghost Runner stuff. I believe there's a sequel in the works as well, and they're really pushing this game, which is awesome, because like, it's a game that I like, it's a game that you like, it's a game that I know Andy Cortez really loves, and you know, I'm glad to see that like, the people who have attached themselves to Ghost Runner as fans and as audience get to look at this and go, oh, this thing that feels very niche, it's getting more support. Like, it's getting a sequel. It's getting stuff that I can look forward to, which isn't a thing that happens all the time. Like, you never know when you're super into an indie game if it's going to get a sequel or not, or if it's going to get more content. And so for the fact that they're supporting Ghost Runner in this way, I think is really cool. Last news story. Story number 5. December's PlayStation Plus games have seemingly been confirmed by Sony. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. December 2021's PlayStation Plus games have seemingly been confirmed by Sony. As previously leaked, this month's PlayStation Plus titles look set to be Godfall Challenger Edition for PS5 and PS4, Mortal Shell for PS4, and LEGO DC Supervillains for PS4. The games were reportedly listed briefly on the PlayStation Spain and Germany Twitter accounts before being removed, suggesting the announcement was made too early. A promotional video for the official reveal also appears to have leaked. And so there you go, your PlayStation Plus games. Michael, do any of these speak to you? Are you into either Godfall, Mortal Shell, or the LEGO DC games?
Godfall. Oh my god. I'm not here to slander anybody. I'm not here to slander anything. I want to be nice and positive here on a beautiful Wednesday morning. But Godfall. Ooh, man. I tried that game and I stopped trying it. I'm gonna say that much.
Godfall was upsetting because I think there was enough there at the core that could have been something super dope, but it just lacked so much content. Because I like the art style of it. I liked how it looked. I liked a lot of the combat stuff, like the combat ideas that they had in it. But like, you start playing it and it's like, where's the content? Why am I doing the same thing for every single mission? Like, give me the content. And they had a content drop recently, like a few months ago. But like, you know, it didn't have the wave of people coming in. It doesn't seem like. I don't see anybody talking about the new Godfall content that just came out.
Yeah, it's also wild because it feels like Godfall, because it initially came out on PC and PS5 only, and then I think like the following, what is it, later down the road, they're like, oh, we're gonna make a PS4 version, hopefully that'll bring more people on board. But I don't know, I think like Godfall at its core, I don't think it's necessarily there to, like, because there are a lot of games where they release and you're like, damn, they really nailed something here, but it's not quite, doesn't feel like a full, complete package. Maybe they, down the road, this can feel like a complete thing. But I just don't know if like the main conceits of Godfall are necessarily good enough to sustain, like, to build upon, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think the foundation is very strong in that game. And like, I don't know, like, if someone does enjoy it, if someone's out there, like, more power to y'all, but that's just how
I mean, I'm somebody who I enjoy Godfall enough I wish I enjoyed it more, right?
Yeah,
and like,
sure, yeah.
I'm probably more on the positive end on Godfall than most people. And even I'm like, man, this needs so much more. Like, I started it during launch, and I was just like, oh man, this needs way more. And then later on in the spring, I had time, so I just went back and I finished it. And when I finished it in spring, I was like, man, why couldn't this have more and better content? Like, why wasn't there like a good story here? What's like, why is there so much that feels like it's missing out of Godfall? I think the main thing for me is that I want somebody to take. I think the concept of a quote unquote looter slasher, which I feel like is kind of an eye rolly term, but like the idea of, hey, this is a melee hack and slash loot game where you are collecting weapons, you are collecting swords, you are collecting staffs and all that shit. Cause that, I think that shit speaks to people, right? Like the idea of a, I was gonna say the idea of a platinum game that's also a games as a service is exciting, but then also.
Babylon's.
But then also Babylon's Fall exists. Babylon's Fall exists and isn't as exciting. But that was. The fault with Babylon's Fall is that they announced it and it wasn't that, and then seemingly it turned into that and then looked worse than it was when it announced.
I need everyone to understand how disappointed I was when Babylon's Fall was fully revealed at E3 this year. I hyped that shit up. Greg and Golden Boy invited me on stage before the Square Enix presentation, said, yo, you're really excited for Babylon's Fall. How about you run up stage and hype it up? I'm like, okay, sure. And then, because it's like from a lot of the same folks that brought us one of the greatest games of all time, Nier Automata. And then you have a platinum game that's a game as a service, which is what you had mentioned, Bless. And you're like, no, not like this.
Not like this. And that's my thing. Is somebody in chat mentioned Warframe, which I think is getting more toward what I'm talking about, right? Like a fast action game that is about building a cool ass like character, right? And Warframe, in that case, it is your Warframe, like your suit that you're building, which Godfall had similar ideas there in terms of building an armor plate. Yeah. But those ideas just weren't as... I think as well developed and weren't supported by the actual content in the game. Whereas like Warframe is a game that, you know, started off in beta, took a little bit of time to get there, but then got there and has an audience and has a thriving fan base and has continual updates. I believe Warframe is like, they've recently announced that they're putting out their biggest content update yet. I think more of those could exist because to me that is exciting. Even as I talk right now, I want to boot Warframe back up for like the 18th time. I do this all the time where I boot up Warframe because
Warframe's so good.
Man, I want to boot up Warframe. I want to get into it, but the idea of me booting up Warframe is just so far away. Michael, if I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday. Also, that was the right.
You nailed it. You nailed it. I was concerned. I was concerned because I didn't prep you for it at all. So I was hoping you remember. Out today, we got World's End Club for PC. World's End reminded me of... There's a movie called World's End, right? Is that the...
At World's End. Yeah.
At World's End.
Not great.
Okay.
A lot of people are going to fight that.
Different from This is the End, featuring Michael Cera.
Which I've heard is very good. In fact, one time, Mike explained the plot to Roger in an Uber ride and then rented the movie and then watched it in mute while explaining the plot.
There is a scene in that movie where Michael Cera slaps Rihanna's ass. Yes. And I recently saw like an interview where where somebody was where they were explaining how they couldn't get the shot right because like in the actual scene, like when they're shooting it, he wasn't actually slapping her ass. So it didn't look good. It didn't look right. And so in the scene, Michael Cera slaps her ass and then she slaps him in the face. Michael Cera turned to Rihanna and was like, hey, if you let me just actually do it, I'll let you just actually slap me in the face. That way we can get a good shot. And Rihanna was like, cool, let's do it. And I think that's the coolest thing. I don't know. Something about that made me go, oh, hell yeah. Like, good for both of them. Good for both of them. We also got MXGP 2021. That's out today for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC. Fight Night, but like Night spelled with a K. Not the Fight Night that you're thinking of. It is Fight
Night. I miss Fight Night, but there is Fight Night. We still got Fight Night in some form here.
That seems... not legal to me. I don't know. That seems like a copyright claim.
It's a different
name. I'm sure EA doesn't know, and if they knew, they would do something about that. That's out today for PC. Oddworld Soulstorm Enhanced Edition is out today for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and PC. Prop Night is out for PC. Evil Genius 2 World Domination is out for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, and Xbox One. Tank de la Muerta is out for Switch. Mind Scanners is out for Switch, and then Buried Stars is out for PC. We got one new date for you. Jurassic World Evolution 2, the early Cretaceous pack, is coming December 9th. Deal of the day for you, coming to Game Pass in December. We got on December 2nd, you're getting Anvil, Archvale, Final Fantasy 13 2, Lawn Mowing Simulator, Rubber Bandits, Stardew Valley, Warhammer 40K. I find it funny that Final Fantasy 13, I think 1, was on Game Pass. And I'm sure some folks checked it out for that, but then went, ah, fuck, how am I going to play 2? Now you get to play 2. Final Fantasy 13 2 is finally there. You get to continue the journey. Hopefully you get Lightning Return soon. On December 7th, you're getting Space Warlord Orion Trading Simulator. December 8th, you're getting Halo. And I pulled this from Nibel, and so apparently he wrote down John Halo, which I think is really funny. December 9th, you're getting One Piece PW4. And then on December 14th on Game Pass, you're getting Among Us. So there you go. A great month of Game Pass content. Mm-hmm. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. You write in. Let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Arkwing writes in and says, just a clarification, the version of Godfall coming to PS Plus doesn't include the campaign. It only includes the end game content, but you can pay an upgrade fee to access the full game. I'm reading this as a kind of funny you're wrong. That doesn't sound right. There's no way that's true.
I'm not exactly sure how it works, but that is the case, that the one that's on PS Plus is not like a full complete edition of the game. It's like some kind of lighter version of it. So, ooh. Sounds
like a bad choice.
People in chat are saying that is true.
Wow.
Yeah.
100% true.
Like, that ain't it.
Shocks me if that's the case. And I find it really hard to believe. But I guess we'll leave it there. As chat, people in chat are telling me that it's true, which is wild. That is not a good look for a PS Plus game. That is wild. This week's hosts for the rest of the week are, tomorrow you're getting Tam and Tim for Tim TM Thursday. On Friday, you're getting Janet and Rebecca Valentine from IGN. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this is, I'm opening up the calendar to see because I did not update this. After this is some Pokemon card unboxings with Mike and Tim. And that is a sponsored stream, which is really exciting.
Is it?
On the calendar, it says it is, unless it's changed.
All right.
Maybe pack openings.
Or look out for something else if something else is a stream. Either way, you can catch that stream later on youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.